Welcome to Exile in Rising. Many of you asked to reflect back on the peace conflict, so I will read first and then I will do the deep analysis of the piece. Let's begin. This is conflict. Two conflicting parts live in my body. One part is resigned and feels completely exhausted. This part wants me to shut down and hide from everyone. The second part screams at me, constantly demanding I get the next thing done and do it right away. The screaming part is in my inherited trauma, not allowing me to pause and rest, as if all my ancestors are behind me, shaking me to keep me awake and constantly on the move, as if they know the trauma I experienced will devastate me when I pause in my hiding place, and my body will remember what has been done to me. This is the piece called Conflict, from the book The Trauma We Don't Talk About. The link is in the show notes. So just take a moment. You can take your notebook, your journal, and let's do the deep analysis of this piece. So core teachings would be in this piece, two-part tug of war. And naming inner split, trauma survivors feel. One part that wants to shut down and hide. Part who is deeply exhausted, who wants to resign, who wants to hide, who wants to disappear, because everything that's happening outside is too much. And it's too sudden to cope with. The second part is the part that demands relentless doing. So that's the part in us who is always pressuring to move, not to stop, not to pause, and to do things with perfection. Making really sure everything is done right away. So you need to get the next thing done and do it right. And that maps to a nervous system oscillation between collapse and overdrive. If you feel those two parts, this is very common in biology, who went through the trauma, who is living with PTSD, it's in a war of wanting to rest and continuously state of overdriving. Second, ancestral pressure. The screaming part, right? The doer. So we have that doer, that general in us. Some people, they call this part a general, a soldier, a warrior, carries inherited survival instructions. Keep moving or you will be overwhelmed. Keep moving or you will be executed, as in my case. And it's adaptive strategy passed through family history and lived experience. It's not a character flaw. So from my personal history and the history of my family, right, of my grandparents and grandparents, but and my personal lived experience was moving and living in the wars. we were on a constant move, exhaling from bombs, from grenades. So if that system wasn't alive in me, that pressure to keep moving, and you better move in the right way with all your vigilance. If I didn't do that, I would be executed. I would be killed. I wouldn't be saved from bombs and grenades. So that part was crucial and so needed in a times of war. And also, all DNA in me helped me to remember that memory of survival from my grandparents. And miraculously, I survived 7 times. I was supposed to be killed. I have very clear memory of 7 times where I was about to get killed in the next second. And that part, who kept me moving, who didn't allow me to pause or to collapse, to resign, helped me be where I am today. What's not helpful, keeping that part still alive when the life is normal. And by normal, I don't mean you will not face trauma and stress, but it's not a war zone anymore. Right? And I work with many veterans and soldiers. Main work would be to calm down that part in the nervous system, and people who are refugees and exiled and who faced gun violence, to reassure that part that the place and GPS location where they live is not the same as it was. And if you're listening to this and you're in a war zone, that part needs to be on it. Needs to be on it. Honor that. Let that part move you. Not only from day to day. That part will help you to move from 1 hour to the next. From 1 minute to the next minute. You know about that place. From minute to minute, where you don't know if you're going to live. So it's so important to have this. And also, it's very important to know when that part deserves retirement. Okay? Third teaching is fear of pausing. Stillness threatens to surface unprocessed pain. And the body anticipates that if I stop, the memories of traumatizing experiences will catch me, and I won't be able to go through this one more time. So it pushes activity as a protective shield. This part is very, very intelligent. It really wants to protect you, so you don't need to face any more pain, grief, reality of what was done and what was happened. So, absolutely, when there is this big unsettled feeling that you need to pause. And many people who go on vacation, that's the time when panic attacks would start and when they would feel most anxious during their vacation, holidays. Or let's say Sunday evening when everything is quiet and still. So, fear of pausing, because stillness, also why many people cannot meditate, especially if you meditate and you feel the pressure. If you have meditation teacher or yoga teacher who would tell you to close your eyes, that person needs to stay away from meditation and yoga teaching because that person is not trauma-informed. And nowadays, one thing we need to know, you don't need to be trauma-based, but you need to be trauma-informed. Because keeping your eyes closed in such a vigilant state means all your system will be re-traumatized again. And don't pressure yourself that you need to meditate by sitting on the cushion. The way what helped me is moving meditation through the dance, free flow dance, movement dance, walking, gardening. That can be a meditation. Meditation doesn't mean sitting on the cushion, closed eyes only. Absolutely not. Because that vigilant part in you, the doer, the pusher, the protector, the warrior, will absolutely scream in your head and go wild because it wants you to be safe and protected. And you cannot do that if you're closing your eyes. So that part is still living in a trauma zone. Okay? And bow to that part. Bow. It wants to protect you. It's not your enemy. It's not. But it needs to know when it's time to retire. So let's look through somatic and nervous system lens. Shut down, so that's your dorsal vagal right collapse. Fatigue, numbness, retreat, invisibility, hiding. Main function is I will be less of the target. I won't be seen. So it will reduce exposure to the threat and to the reality which you faced or facing. It wants you to conserve energy when safety feels out of reach. So it really wants you to use the minimum amount. You might even lose your appetite because of chewing and digesting food requires energy. So this is very common. Or when you will just want to sleep. Absolutely, because walking, running takes energy. So that's the main purpose of a shutdown response, right? Dorsal vagal. It wants you to retreat in a place where you are resigned. So you can retrieve and preserve what's left of your energy. It's absolutely so intelligent. This screaming, vigilant, doing part is your sympathetic right response, fight or flight. It has the quality of urgency, of perfectionism, productivity compulsion. So if you're running from one project to another, from one social event to another, if your day is so busy, but it's busy with urgency, that doesn't mean you're ambitious. No. When we have this urgency, the quality of the urgency, it's a trauma response. And function is outrun the pain. Outrun the state you don't wanna feel ever again. The main headline, if you will, for that part is, if I keep moving, I won't feel it. If I keep moving, I won't be killed. If I keep moving, I won't be humiliated. If I keep moving, I'm keeping my choice. If I keep moving, I'm keeping my autonomy. If I keep moving, there is a chance I will keep my dignity and my freedom. And then they have oscillation, right, as the symptom. So many people pendulate between those two states, rarely landing in ventral. We want to be in ventral. This is our prefrontal cortex, right, where we feel connection, when we feel faith and trust, where we can play, where we can produce our thoughts. And this moving from, it's moving only between those two states, is a trauma living. And this conflict is so protective. And it served you well during a trauma. But it's not serving you when trauma is over, because it's deeply exhausting and it's too costly for your well-being, for your health. And we do say in a therapy rooms, once adaptive, now maladaptive. Okay? So anyone who is working with inner parts, with IFS, insight about parts work. So we have this manager part. You can call this manager. Me coming from the war, I have this quality, and many people have who were in a war conflict, that manager part, the screaming achiever, managing risk via control, speed, and high standards, right? Call them a general, a captain, a warrior, a soldier. If you're a dancer, it has this staccato energy. It has a clarity where to go and what to do. And it's extremely adaptive and sharp. Second part is exile. It just wants to disappear. The pain and memories that feel too much to contact directly. We have firefighters, shut down, right? They want to really quickly to shut down any pain. So one part would be response as addiction. I don't want to feel that pain. I just want to start drinking or use substances. This firefighter also can be, I just want to end my life. It's too much. It just wants to end the pain. Okay. And we have self-compassionate witness. And that witness is number one thing you will start to work in your therapy with your therapist or your own. Compassionate witness. Graceful witness who can hold all your parts with respect, with full respect, where you are able to separate those parts and make connection with them. They need to know each other. They need to know who is in charge of when. And if they need to be in charge, or is it time to retire? So the full adult compassionate witness can start lead a life. Also, very important, intergenerational frame. So inherited alarms, it goes so deeply in our DNA, in our ancestral memory. So when I said, as if all my ancestors are behind me, that evokes intergenerational vigilance. Families who survived war, displacement, poverty, scarcity, oppression, and often we are taught, we witnessed our parents, we witnessed our grandparents. I was raised this way, is don't stop, don't feel, keep moving. That was a family motto. It's in us. Second, respect the purpose. These rules which were running in a family was to keep people alive. And healing means honoring your family intent while updating your family for present conditions. Update. We need update. Okay. We need a software update in our own family. Because if you are a child of immigrant parents, of parents who went through the war, and this is what my sons are doing quite often, they would say, okay, mom, this is not the war. This is Canada. Yes. Okay. Updates are important for those parts who want to resign or who just want to be always vigilant. And you can still honor your family. But you don't need to follow their trauma response. So let's see why pausing is hard and it's also necessary. If you pause, there is a big threat of memory because pausing reduces the noise that kept pain at a distance. And the nervous system knows, anticipates a flood of the memories. Pausing is so hard for men. It's extremely hard. As women, when we pause, we process with other women. We have our soul sisters, right? Friends. But most men, they don't rely on their men support group, on their friends. They keep going in this deep solitude of vigilance, and it's not chosen solitude. And then also, why pausing is hard and why is so necessary? When we pause, that's why your therapist will pause with you so many times, that silence, which can be so awkward, is for the purpose of capacity building. And the work is not to make you feel awkward, but to titrate stillness so it's digestible. Second, before minutes, before longer rests. Okay. There's a purpose in pausing in a therapy. It's a capacity building. where you can exhale, take a rest, and all your biology is waiting for that rest, except vigilant part, and it needs to be titrated. It cannot be done, oh, now let's be in a pausing state, meditative state for 60 minutes for someone who is so hypervigilant. I remember I couldn't close my eyes, just maybe even, I would say 6-7 years after the war, maybe even longer, I would say even 10. Closing eyes wasn't even an option, absolutely not. And I just knew I had to respect that. I didn't know why, but I had to respect that. And pausing absolutely wasn't an option on a yoga mat for a very long time. It had to be titrated, okay? Yes. It's a deep wisdom in our bodies, in our soma. And look for somatic therapists, somatic experiencing therapist for PTSD and trauma recovery. Trauma and PTSD resides in your body. And we need to talk. We need to have also talk therapy to express, to give the voice and the narrative. But the healing, right, regulation of PTSD starts in your nervous system, not only in your nervous system, in your muscle system, skeleton system. So you want to work with all your systems in the bodies, okay? So to close this, name the parts you have. Do not shame them. Oh, this is a part who wants to resign and rest. Or this is my general, my captain. Each one is trying to protect you. Exiled. Oh, this is the one who wants to shut me down so I don't feel pain with food or weed or alcohol. And honor ancestors without obeying alarms. Thank you, protectors, and ask what today's body needs and what is possible for you, no one else. It's so simple. What do you need from me, my body? And what is possible? Maybe it's possible just to sit. Maybe it's possible today just to walk for 5 minutes. Maybe it's possible not to reply on all emails or sign up on all workshops. What do you need, my body? How can I, as a witness, protect you as I figure this journey? And you can say to the doer, to the vigilant part, thank you for keeping me moving. I will give you a clear next task and a short window. So you can sign up on the program I'm teaching for PTSD recovery. The link will be in the show notes. How do we do this? Deep dive implementation is in the program. Please check the links below. And this is one skill you can use when this vigilant part kicks in to say, thank you for keeping me moving. I will give you a clear task and a short window. That part wants to be busy, but it can be busy in planning your self-care or in planning this small project. And it needs to have end date. It's not on 24/7 for the next 10 days or 10 years. You will do this in the next 2 hours. And then you can retire it. For the day. The part who wants to collapse, who wants to disappear, you can say, thank you for keeping me safe. I will schedule a protected rest. Only you control, no one else. And I can have this vigilant part who is so agile to protect you at the door, so that part can make sure no one comes in and you can sleep as long as you want. And to the both parts, when we have this conflict, right? Might. Say to both of them, I see your wisdom in both of you. You are doing the same thing for me. And you don't need to fight. And you don't need to override or feel overpowered. I'm the one who will coordinate all of this. I know you want to help me both. And one practice you can start today, pause. So even listen, see how my pace, there's a reason why I'm using this pace. I'm titrating, pausing. And this is how also, by listening me, I have this cadence, right? The rhythm in my voice. So you can build capacities of pausing and notice if this is, oh my God, I need to listen this on speed, only on speed. Oh, that's it. Vigilant part. And notice if you're listening on the normal speed, how actually nothing bad happened. How your soul and your heart and your body received this cadence, this tempo, this pace of a regulated nervous system in this moment. So healing begins by honoring both parts and learning to pause in microdoses. If this episode resonated with you, please share to someone who needs to hear this. And please donate so we can continue this podcast. I am Anna Mal. This is Exhalant Rising. I'm the founder of Somatic Trauma Recovery Center in Toronto, Canada. As always, be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Until next time, much care.